Mark, can I be a pain? Can you go back to that last hymn, that last verse that we sang? Through to the very last verse. If I could remember it, I'd quote it. Next one, I think. Yeah. For every day I have on earth is given by the King, so I will give my life, my all, to love and follow him. It's a great prayer, isn't it? And certainly a fitting response to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father, may the words we sing be the words we live by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that your Spirit has been poured out from on high by the risen one. And we thank you for your grace, your abundant grace poured out on us through him. That not only do we have forgiveness and peace with you, but we also have new life by the power of your Holy Spirit. New life within us now, to live for you and to live for Christ, and also the hope of everlasting life in your kingdom. Father, fill our hearts with hope and joy this Easter Sunday, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Mark. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Let me just begin with a brief recap from Good Friday, because I realise not all were here Good Friday. This Easter, my theme is the promise of paradise. It's centred around Jesus' promise to the thief who was dying on the cross next to Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, the thief begged Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus responded with the amazingly gracious words, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." When we think of paradise, we often think of the ocean and a sunset or sunrise, and many such images include a palm tree. And so it got me thinking about three extremely important trees in the Bible. The tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and of evil in the Garden of Eden, the tree of Calvary, and the tree of life. On Good Friday, our focus was on trees 1 and 2. We saw that the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, their desire to be autonomous, to be self-determining, to decide for ourselves what is good and evil rather than listening to God on the subject of what is good and evil, has massive implications for us personally and for our world as a whole. Our world is cursed. Sin, conflict, war, like we see in the Ukraine, sickness and disease, which has turned our lives upside down over the last couple of years, environmental degradation and so on, are all symptoms of the fall. There's a sense in which we all live under the shade, the darkness of the Tree of Eden. The second tree is God's solution to this problem, the problem of our world and the problem with us. The Tree of Calvary is where God reverses the curse. Jesus is cursed for us so that we might be blessed. He suffers the penalty for our sin in his death so that we can be forgiven and reconciled to God, at peace with him. And when we're at peace with God, we experience peace within. And more than that, this peace overflows into our relationships with others. We can enjoy peace in our homes, peace in our church, peace in our community, as the way we relate is transformed by God. We can't change our world, but God can change us, and that can make the world of difference in our own lives. So in a nutshell, we are broken by sin and healed by Jesus. The tree of Calvary is where salvation is found, so we want to live our lives under the shadow of the cross. Day by day, we want to look to the cross of Christ for our forgiveness, peace, and transformation. It's also where we look for hope, for on that cross, Jesus promised paradise. Truly, I tell you, he said to the ex-thief, today you will be with me in paradise. We are presently in the season of promises. ScoMo and Albo, only in Australia with those names, ScoMo and Albo, and their respective parties will be promising the world. That might be a bit of overstatement, but you know what I mean. Here we are, there's Albo. And the question we will ask is, will they fulfill the promises that they have made? Big promises, will they fulfill them? What will become core and non-core promises? What circumstances will change that will mean that they are not in a position to deliver on those particular promises? We've all heard these things before, haven't we? It's hard not to be sceptical. Humans are far from rock solid, reliable in keeping their promises. We know ourselves that we don't always keep our word. We blame changing circumstances too. But there is one human who is rock solid, reliable when it comes to keeping promises, and that is the divine man, Jesus Christ. Truly, I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Yes, this promise is hard to verify in the sense that none of us are yet in paradise to see and potentially meet the ex-thief on the cross. However, Jesus is. When he died, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The spirit of Jesus departed to be with his Father that is in heaven, in paradise. And likewise, we can assume the ex-thief with him. We know that Jesus' body was taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb. Then on the third day, he rose again. Jesus' spirit returned to his lifeless body and he left the tomb, appearing to multiple eyewitnesses, including the apostles who suffered and died for their testimony that Jesus was risen from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees the promise. The resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb, the appearance of Jesus to eyewitnesses and the testimony of theirs that we believe, the resurrection of Jesus guarantees the promise. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It is a rock-solid, reliable, 100% promise, something you can build your life on, something that you can place your hope in, because he is risen from the dead. Jesus defeated death. The tree of Calvary was not the end of the story. There is another tree in paradise. There's a piece of paradise. Last week in the lead up to Easter, I was able to have a couple of days with the family in a little piece of paradise, Hawk's Nest. Beautiful place. Beautiful as always. The sun was shining on Monday. All the water that surrounds was glistening beautifully. There was hardly a breeze, just enough for a bit of offshore spray on the nice waves that were rolling in. Perfect beach day. Everything so green after all the rain. The birds were absolutely loving it. All the native birds screeching away, making a lot of noise. This picture, I stuck with this picture because it's got this strange little thing down the bottom here that you can see that someone's imposed over the top. This is where the Abedes would like to develop a part of Hawk's Nest. So the point being, you know, paradise, it's paradise, but paradise often gets spoiled, doesn't it? that's the nature of it in this world. Problem with paradise is that it doesn't last. Just a couple of days or so for me this week, and there was work to do whilst I was there. And even in our own little piece of paradise there, we don't get away from the health issues, you know, within the family. There are some of the relational tensions that might be there. Some of life's problems just don't go away. And then there's the wider world. You know, you might be in paradise for a few days, but there's the wider world, and sitting around the table as we were eating meals together, we weren't able to solve all the world's problems just in a few days up at Hawk's Nest. The resurrection of Jesus is permanent. He is risen, never to die again. He has promised to raise us who belong to him so that death is not the end of our story. The future is about a tree in a kingdom that is good beyond all comprehension, of which somewhere like Hawk's Nest is but a tiny infinitesimal taste. Here is a picture that God gives us of our future in Christ. It comes from Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me, the Apostle John, the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, right across the river, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Here is a picture of access to the tree of life, one representation here. We lost this when Adam and Eve sinned by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because of sin, we don't live forever. We die and face God's judgment. But there is a way of salvation through the tree of Calvary. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, and salvation are found there, along with peace, transformation, and hope. Hope of the resurrection life with the resurrected one. Access to the tree of life. And there is no curse. Such a beautiful picture, isn't it? No curse. The curse is gone. No more sin. No more death. No more sickness. No more disease. No more conflict. No more war. No more anxiety about the virus. No more worry about what's going on in our world in the Ukraine. No more worry about environmental catastrophe. No more anxiety about anything. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Healing on a geopolitical global scale. Healing on a personal level. Physical healing. Emotional healing. Spiritual completion. This is our sure and certain hope because of the resurrection, because of the cross of Calvary. We have this hope because we have heard and received the gospel. As Jesus said to those two men on the road to Emmaus, which we heard read, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. This was always God's plan, that Jesus would suffer and die and rise again to be our Savior and King. Jesus reinforced this when he appeared to his disciples a little bit later on. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." We are in the second phase of God's great salvation plan in Christ. Phase one has happened. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That has happened. Phase two is this, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The apostles began phase two, and now it is our responsibility to carry it on. And as the gospel spreads throughout the world, God is saving his people through his Son. People are repenting, turning away from sin to Jesus, receiving God's gracious gift of everlasting forgiveness. And with that, hope. The promise of paradise. A promise that the risen Lord Jesus can and will keep. We will have access to the tree of life and live forever. And the quality of that life will exceed every possible expectation. We will not be disappointed. And the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations. Let me pray. This is the traditional prayer for Easter Sunday. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing, and it's our final hymn, It Is Well.